Excerpts from the EA Talmud by Scott Alexander. AKA surely we have enough Jews here that at least one person finds this funny. Quote. Mishnah. Rabbi Ord says that the three permissible cause areas are global health and development, animal welfare, and long-termism. Why are these the three permissible cause areas? Because any charity outside of these cause areas is a violation of Baal Tashkit, the prohibition against wasting resources. End quote. Gomorrah. And why not? 4. Categories, because global health and development are two separate categories. Rabbi Bar Bar Hanna answers. Is not global health valuable only because it later leads to development? Therefore, consider them the same category. Rav Yehuda objects. He tells the story of a student who asked Rabbi Yohanan why there should not be a fourth category, meta-effective altruism. Rabbi Yohanan answered, this is covered under long-termism because it pays off in the long term when the meta-charity causes effective altruists to have more resources. But if meta-effective altruism is long-termist because it pays off in more resources later, shouldn't global health also be classified as long-termist because it pays off in development later? Rav Hizda asks, how can you think to compare these two? In meta-effective altruism, the resources have not yet been used to help the poor. But in global health, the resources are already spent on the poor. From this, learn that the category of charity is determined when the resources are spent on helping the poor. The Gemara concludes. Indeed, learn from this. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochi says, it is permissible to count your contributions towards animal welfare as also being contributions to long-termism. For Isaiah 10:11 says, on that day, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. What is meant by on that day? It means in the long-term future. If it is permissible to count your contributions towards animal welfare as also being contributions to long-termism, then in what sense are they two different cause areas? Rav answers. Rabbi Shimon was only referring to contributions towards speculative wild animal suffering causes like genetically engineering predators into herbivores. Using the method of juxtaposition, we see that the next verse is the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. One who has pledged to donate a certain amount to animal welfare and long-termism may count these types of causes as either category of donation. Donations to normal animal welfare causes may not be counted as long-termism. How long must it be before a charitable intervention pays off in order to count it as for the long-term future? Rabbi Hizda says, in the name of Rav, in the name of Rabbi Akiva. 70 years. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And this passage is talking about the end of the Babylonian exile after 70 years. Therefore, the long-term future is 70 years from now. Quote. Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer said, one may work on AI safety but not on AI capabilities. What is AI capabilities? It is anything that makes an AI better at any of the 39 categories of labor involved in constructing the tabernacle. End quote. Gomorrah. The Exiliarch raised a question to Rav Hamnuna. Clearly language models are forbidden due to the prohibition against writing. But why is it capabilities research to work on an image model? Rav Hamnuna answered. That is the prohibited labor of dying. And is it dying if the image is in black and white? Rav Sheshit said. Rather, say that it is still the prohibited labor of writing because the user must prompt the image model. Rabbi Zera objects. The image model is translating the writing into its vector space. It is not, itself, improving at writing. Rather, say it is the prohibited labor of sifting, because the AI must separate pixels that should be dark from pixels that should be bright. The halakha is with Rabbi Zera. Rav Papa raises a conundrum. Is RLHF not the prohibited labor of sifting? After all, the AI must sift safe responses from unsafe responses. The sages say, RLHF is different. There it is not the AI that is improving, it is the reinforcement model that trains the AI. The improvement of the AI is a secondary effect from the improvement of the reinforcement model. Nobody trains a reinforcement model for its own sake. Therefore, RLHF is permitted even to a safety researcher. Quote. Mishnah. Rabbi Karnofsky said, a work trial may be no longer than 40 days, and one must give a prospective employee their answer within 7 days of the end of the work trial. End quote. Gemara. On what authority did Rabbi Karnofsky say it is 40 days? Rabbi Yohanan said, by an a fortiori argument from Noah's flood. If God only held the world in limbo for 40 days when he was punishing the wicked, even more so should we not hold in limbo a prospective employee who is innocent. Rabbi Yehoshua said, by homiletic interpretation of the 40 years that God kept the Israelites wandering in the desert. For years, we should read the days. Rav Ashi said, I heard in a Beraita that the 7 days comes from Genesis 7 verse 4, where God gives Noah 7 days warning before he sends the flood. Granted, this works well for Rabbi Yohanan, who says the 40 days derive from Noah's flood. But how does Rabbi Yehoshua explain the 7 days? The Gemara answers. Exodus 19 uses the words speak and descend 7 times each. If the people of Israel had descended from their heights and spoken to their prospective employees about their work trials in a timely manner, God would not have made them wander in the desert for 40 years. Rav Hisda said in the name of the Master. The pious reveal the result of work trials within 3 days, the GD-fearing in 5 days, and only the fool waits the entire 7 days allotted. Rabbi Yehuda Harnossi said, in the days of Abraham our father, people would hire employees after only looking at their resume. In the days of Moses, they would hire after only an interview, and only after Saul took the kingship did they require work trials. The Gemara asks, but didn't Laban make Jacob work 7 years to marry Leah, and then another 7 years to marry Rachel? Rav Papa answers, that was not a work trial, since Jacob's goal was not to continue working on Laban's farm. The sages continue to discuss other rules around notifying prospective employees after work trials, for example, for are you allowed to delay notifying someone if you have an illness? Abay said, not for any illness except intestinal distress or tuberculosis. Rava said, so great is the dignity of the prospective employee that even for intestinal distress and tuberculosis, you may not delay notifying them. Quote, Mishnah. Rabbi Wise says, the following people are forbidden to you. Your co-workers, your subordinates, and your grantees. The co-workers of grantees are permitted to ordinary people, but forbidden to Kohanim and open philanthropy employees. End quote. Gemara. On what authority did Rabbi Wise ban marrying your co-workers, subordinates, and grantees? The Gemara answers. The prohibition against your co-workers is from Leviticus 18 verse 9. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home as elsewhere. Your co-workers are like sisters to you. And if you should think to say that the verse only referred to literal sisters, this is covered by the last clause, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. Born elsewhere metaphorically means those sisters who are not related to you. By the same logic, your subordinates are banned by Leviticus 15, do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. Your subordinates are like daughter-in-laws to you. And grantees are banned by Leviticus 23, do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it, because grantees are fed and cultivated, like animals. Rav Ashi asks, and why is an additional stricture laid upon open philanthropy employees? And if it should enter your head to say because open philanthropy has large amounts of money, then why not also the Survival and Flourishing Fund, which also has large amounts of money? Rava answers, Survival and Flourishing Fund disperses money through that incomprehensible S-process thing, rather than by individual employee decisions. Therefore, its employees need not be as strict. Rav Kahana says, I heard that it is also forbidden to ask people out on dates at parties. Rabbi Abba said, I heard in a Beraita. In the days of the Second Temple, someone asked a woman out on a date at a party. A journalist heard this and told the Romans, and they massacred 70,000 Torah scholars in retaliation. Therefore Rabbi Akiva decreed that it is forbidden to ask people out at parties. Rav said, Rabbi Akiva made his decree for Darkei Shalom, keeping good relations with the Gentiles. In places like Eretz Yisrael, where there are many journalists, let people follow Rabbi Akiva's decree. In places like Babylonia, where journalists are few, Rabbi Akiva's decree is not binding. A dilemma was raised before the study hall. If a married man accepts funding from an anonymous source and later learns that his wife was the funder, must he get divorced? The followers of Shammai say, he must get divorced. The followers of Hillel say, it is forbidden ab initio, but he need not get divorced if he learns about it later. The halakha is with the followers of Hillel. Another dilemma was raised. If a man marries a funder, and the funder anonymously distributes money to a regranter, and the regranter anonymously disperses money to the man, and then he finds out, then according to the opinion of the followers of Shammai, must he divorce his wife? No answer was found, so let the dilemma stand unresolved. This article was narrated by Type 3 Audio for the Effective Altruism Forum. It was first published on April 1, 2024. To report an issue or give feedback on this narration, go to t3a.is.